Hi, this is Sue Schmidt from Equipping for a Ministry. I'm sitting out on the campus of Colorado State University, and my husband Mike has joined me, and Daryl and Seal Wilson from Faculty Commons. So we're just going to have a conversation and want you to sit in with us. And you had a question to ask.
Yeah, so I know you've spent a year in Italy, and I know you've taken teams of faculty from the U.S. over to Italy. And so one of the important questions is, why is it important that faculty members go over there?
Well, thanks for asking that question, Mike.
Never thought you'd ask.
I listen to NPR a lot. That's how they do it. Well, one of the things that's true of Europe in general, and especially Western Europe, is that students there are educated in a system that has at its assumption level that people who are educated and intelligent could not possibly be followers of Jesus, and for that matter, even really believe in God. Or if they do, it's not something that would be worth discussing because it's not intellectual, it's strictly a feelings or a blind faith kind of issue. So given the assumption that I just stated, that educated, intelligent people don't believe in God, the idea of a Christian professor is in and of itself a paradox, or it's an oxymoron, actually. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we like to do is to bring over men and women who do have advanced degrees and who actually follow Jesus, and have them meet these students, because that blows away this assumption that we've just been talking about. So just meeting such a professor could be a turning point in terms of moving a person from unbelief towards belief.
Did you see that in some special cases?
Yeah.
It's usually, so with Europe is a post-Christian culture, and we're becoming one. Mm-hmm. We're not quite
yet. How far
behind
do you think we are?
Well, a professor in the UK told us we're about 50 years behind them.
50? Oh, really? Oh, I would have only guessed maybe 20 or something.
Well, it's specifically in that context, he was saying that what follows Christianity, post-Christianity, is paganism.
Yeah.
And he feels that basically the UK is almost there, would you say? Is that what he said? Or already there? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where he thinks we'll be. That was just one guy's opinion.
No, but...
So yeah. I've heard a generation.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. That could be 30 years.
Yeah. So evangelism in a European context, and increasingly in an American context, is moving person by gradual stages from unbelief to belief. Okay. So the professor is one more step, and meeting a professor who's a follower of Jesus is one more step in that progression. And we learned recently, last fall, we brought a professor from University of Pennsylvania, helped set up a meeting. He's in law, and he was coming to Rome to do guest teaching, invited by an Italian professor, and he was happy to spend some time. He only had a few hours, but he was happy to meet with students and talk about Christianity and the law. So we set this up with Cruz, Agape Italia student ministry team in Rome, and they invited law students and set it up at a local little coffee house near the campus, and he spent a couple hours with them. It was a great discussion. His Italian professor friend came too, and we learned this week that one of the law students who came to that became a believer in the last month. So it's, just little things. I mean, she's been processing the gospel for at least a year now. Mm-hmm. Right. But he was one more stage in that. Yeah.
That's great.
When we bring Christian professors over, we brief them, and we do things to try to prepare them.
Yeah.
For example, have them write their testimony out if they haven't already done that. And we Seal helps edit that down because it tends to be way too long. And then we get it translated into Italian so that we can either put it on the website, have a leaving piece, or both. So that's important. And that also is a training tool for the professor, him or herself. Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Itself. And one of the other things we do during the briefing is we explain this, what we talked about earlier, this assumption. And we tell them, especially in Italy, that you will likely be the first professor who follows Jesus that these students have ever met. And you are also just about as likely to be the first professor who has ever shown a personal interest in them that they've ever met. So that's one of the reasons why we have them do talks that are not blatantly gospel-oriented. They're often talks that are there to help the student in some way, like the sleep.
So another University of Pennsylvania professor was in Bologna, Italy, for the European Sleep Conference. And this man is a psychologist whose specialty is sleep disorders. Mm-hmm. He was going to be there anyway, so he emailed and said, I'd be happy to spend a, I have an afternoon, I could do ministry with you. So we worked with a medical student we know at the University of Bologna who set up, she got one of the medical student groups to actually sponsor him and advertise it. And his talk was insomnia, stress, and better sleep habits, something like that. We had 50 people there. And he talked, by the end of his talk, he was discussing how your emotional and spiritual and mental part of your life contributes to sleep disorders, and so you need to pay attention to that side of your life. We had his testimony printed in Italian and posted it on the as a note to the Facebook event.
As I recall, he talked about lack of peace in your life could be contributing to. He established a foothold that our staff on the ground there can follow up on.
So you're saying most of these have a personal flavor to the talk. It's not just a academic paper type presentation, and then you meet the person afterwards. The whole concept is trying to meet a need.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
So both of you have spent, what, about a year now over in Italy?
Mm-hmm.
And so in addition to bringing professors over, you're doing some things that are helping our Italian staff. So what are some of the things that you saw that you could help bring to the table that would help the Italian ministry?
Sure. Shortly upon arrival, we discovered that they needed some help with communicating with their American donors. The Italian staff there, almost all of them, I think all of them do have American donors as well as Italians.
Yeah.
The concept of the end-of-year ask is a completely U.S.-only based concept.
Sure.
Because England doesn't do
England,
it either.
Not even England
well,
does
it's
it.
A lot.
It's all based on our tax laws.
Right, it's all because of the tax laws.
Yeah.
So we helped them. I mean, first of all, it was some coaching in terms of why it's important and trying to explain it, and then helped them with creating and editing their letters. So out of the entire team there, we were the last to get our end-of-year letter out because we were doing all of their letters. So we did get it out. We were fine. But that was a big one.
How was the response for them?
It was quite good, yeah. And
I mean, because they don't have the tax incentive, so.
Well, they're
but this
donors.
Was to the American donors.
This was to their American donors.
There's no point in doing one to the Italian donors.
Why are the American donors important to the Italian ministry?
I guess that kind of sort of begged the question. Most of our Italian staff will not be able to raise full support in Italy. And so any contacts they have in the States that can serve as a host for them, they'll come and raise support here. So like, for example, one of the brand new staff that just has come on in Rome, we talked with him at a conference we were doing together, and we let him know if he comes to Dallas, we will host him. And in fact, he is coming with his wife in August. So we'll put him up and help him in any way we can. That has to happen.
What is it about the Italian culture that makes it difficult for them to find donors in Italy? Because I know they would like to, and they have some, but there's some barriers.
Well, first of all, in the evangelical church in Italy, is what, 0.5% of the population? It's very small. The culture, even the evangelical church pastors, are not fully supported by their church. They're expected to work a job and do the pastoring of the church also. This whole idea of the worker is worthy of his hire, and this whole philosophy, they don't understand. Raising support, developing ministry partners in that culture is a weird, strange thing. And it takes a long time because of that.
So part of the job of the ministry there is actually to effect change in the culture of the evangelical church.
Let me expand on that there, because I know here in the U.S. you work with significant donors to the Faculty Commons ministry. And so then there's the concept of raising funds for the ministry activities, not just the staff support. And have the staff in Italy crossed that bridge in terms of thinking how to broach the subject of raising significant amounts of funds from wealthier people? Is that something that is even a possibility at this stage?
Well, they're not at that point yet, because the Italian ministry right now is dependent on central funding from
Western Europe.
And Western Europe itself, though, does have major donors,
right.
And not just Americans.
Right.
They do some, there's a system that the Western European ministry runs where they submit grant proposals for particular projects, and then the Western European ministry will send those to major donors in Western Europe who are interested in certain kinds of projects. So there is a little bit of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, you two. And it's great to have you back in the States. I understand you're going back for another brief time next year, 2018, to work in Italy. And we'll be praying for that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.